Well, good morning and welcome to Clear Lake Christian Church. Nice to see everybody. Say, I just want to go over a couple of announcements before we get started. Next Sunday, our missionaries from Haiti Care will be here. So they'll be coming to the church to give us a brief on how things are going with our efforts in Haiti. We invite everybody back to hear Lance and Lynn talk about the amazing things that God is doing in their life and in the life of the Haitians that they interact with. I also got word that Scott is preaching his first Sunday in Sierra Leone. So he's picked up where he left us last Sunday and going right in full tilt boogie into taking the word of the Lord to the people of Sierra Leone, and we miss him. You may have noticed when you walked in, if you didn't, there's on the table outside, out in the narthex, is annual reports. Immediately after worship, we would like all of the membership to stay here. We're going to have about a 15-minute annual meeting. All we have to do is take a quick ballot vote. You're going to have a little bit of a time of briefs from each department, and that'll be an opportunity for you to hear what's going on with the pulpit committee that you stood up this time last year. So after worship is over, we would ask that that non-members, please, we want to fellowship with you. It's just, we have an annual meeting to do right after worship. And for those that want, that can stay, that are not members, just know that we're going to be done in 15 minutes or less. That's the intent. So please don't feel like we're running you off. We really want to get to know those of you that aren't members, aren't regular attendees here. Just know that this is our one Sunday of the year that we have an annual meeting. So that's all I have for announcements. Reading the first verse and the last verse from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us pray. Almighty Father, as we gather today in your house, we take this time to open our hearts to your word, to the message that will be brought to us this morning, to opening our voices to sing songs of praise and worship to you. We ask that you be with Ron today as he opens your book to us. Speak through him. We know that you have word knowledge for each of us here, that we would walk out of here with a better understanding of you and a better understanding of how we can apply your word to our life. We thank you for gathering us together. We ask that you would reach your hand of protection over those of us that are not here today. We have family and friends in Africa. We have family and friends in Switzerland and throughout in Europe. We have people that just that are coming up to visit us next week from Florida. We have family and friends that are scattered throughout this world that you created in your power. We just ask that you would be with them in the form of letting them know your love, letting them know that you have your eye on them, each and every one of them. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus was asked once, what's the greatest commandment? And the Jews had all sorts of laws, and we all know about the Ten Commandments, and how do you pick one that is the greatest? But what was Jesus' answer? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes it seems maybe we get those two switched around a little bit. Like, we think that the greatest commandment of all is to love other people. But isn't the greatest commandment to love God? Love God first. Love what his word says. Love what his truth is. And then secondly, love other people. Love God. Love other people. And all of the other commandments will take care of themselves if we remember only those two. Let's stand and sing together. Love the Lord. All right, you may have a seat. This is the time in our service that we devote to a children's moment, so we invite all kids to come forward, come right on up here and find a good place to sit down and listen to a message especially for you.
Okay, everybody's okay this morning, right?
Yes.
Okay, and we have a special visitor. I brought some glue, I brought a stapler, I brought a couple of bolts, I brought some scotch tape. Anybody have any thoughts on how they're connected? Right?
They're all resources.
They're all resources. Get going. Come on. I can't read your mind. What thing in common do they have?
They all hold stuff together except together.
Okay, this little boy over here wants to say something too.
They're for holding things together.
For holding things together. Very good. Now, the hard part, think. What other things do you know that hold things together?
Paper clips.
Come on.
Bobby pins.
Glue.
Bobby pins.
Glue. Cotton tips.
Bobby pins.
You gotta remember, these ears are kind of old.
Nails.
You know, I think you could each come up with half a dozen things that are like this. But you know what? I'm going to talk about the best kind of thing that there is to hold people together. It's to love one another. You know, the Bible tells us we're to love one another. Paul just talked about loving your neighbor and loving God. It's the one thing that holds people together. And I'm thinking about us, just temporarily without a pastor. And we've got to hold one another together. And we've got to love one another, even when it's hard. You know, because there are people that it's hard to love. That's a fact. But because we have the love of God in our heart, we can love one another. And how do you show that? I'm going to read from Ephesians. Use your ears. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider yourself better than, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. The greatest commandment, love others like you want, like God loves you. Remember, each one of you is God's favorite child. He made each one of us because he loves us. And so as we work through this time, remember that we need to love one another, respect one another, hang on to one another, and help. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for the love that you gave to each one of us. Help us to pass that love along, to love as Jesus did, to love as you've asked us to do, and take care of one another. Most of all, we love you. Amen. Now, we've got a lot of little ones. You big ones, try and keep your hands on the basket until the little ones have gone through.
Thank you, Jane. And as the kids return to their seats, let's just take a minute to reach out and greet those nearest to us, and we'll continue our singing in just a minute.
I
Heavenly Father, we're so blessed to be able to experience your presence this morning, to gather together with our church family to worship you, to sing praises, to confess our sins, to hear your word. We are often overwhelmed by our unworthiness, and yet you continue to love us with your everlasting love. You show mercy where we deserve only punishment, and you shower us with undeserved grace. Sometimes we feel so very far away from you, and that the fire that once burned so strong for you is only a flickering flame. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move our hearts this morning to fan that flame of faith and restore our passion to know and to love you more. We know that as we individually draw nearer to you, we will also be drawing nearer to one another, to love each other with a Christ-like love that will shine for all to see. Father, we ask your blessing and protection on Pastor Scott and Robin as they begin their mission work in Africa. We pray that you will give them wisdom and discernment as they share your gospel story with the people of Sierra Leone, that they will be encouraged by those that come to know and trust you. Lord, we ask you to bless those in our congregation who are suffering from loss, struggling with health concerns. We pray for the whole family of Irene Cole, and Steve Cartwright, and Edith Alsbury. Pray for Dan DeJern, Margarita Atwell. We pray for all those listed in our bulletin, Lois Fogel, and Bob Hands, and Joe Ibera, and Marty Rowe, Joni Stevens, Myrna Torkelson, and Dennis Welch, all who are struggling with something, and for all of us who are also struggling with things that only we know about. We pray for the safe return of Martha Andrews and Tracy and Macy Mixdorf as they make the long trip home. And we pray for Ron as he delivers the message this morning. We ask that you touch all of them and all of us with your healing hand and give us all a renewed sense of your power and love. We ask your continued guidance on our church as we come closer to calling a new pastor. We pray that you would make it plain to us and to him that it is your will that we partner together in ministry in this place to proclaim the good news of salvation and to exalt you as King.
Accepted, you were. For those of you that don't know, is my mic working okay? Okay, good. For you that don't know, I'm an elder at the church here. Obviously, there's elders going to fill the vacancy for a while. Then we got a couple guest speakers and a little bit of excitement here in the time of August. So I'm the first one, sort of drove the short straw, I guess, to give the message here. And I worry a little bit about, like, I think there's scripture that says the first should be last and the last should be first. I'm not sure what that all means. But I do have the privilege, especially this morning, to talk a little bit about one of our members who has passed, Irene Cole. She passed at the age of 94. I had the privilege, the real privilege, of giving the message at her funeral. So it was, I was real honored by that opportunity. And, you know, we talked about Ecclesiastes a little bit. That's obviously one that's used a lot at funerals. And we enhanced that a little bit. We talked about a time to bake cookies, a time to have family reunions, a time to just have a whole bunch of fun, a time to go to the Apple Valley, to Oakwood. She loved the great outdoors, a time to garden. She really made the most of the life. I sort of called her the matriarch of the family. She had four children. Kathy's here today, and three sons. She had 12 grandchildren and 31 great-grandchildren, one great-grandson. So she was quite a matriarch, and she's also got a couple twin granddaughters that are going to be on the way here very, very shortly. So it was really a neat experience and a wonderful family. And I've known them, of course, because my daughter is married to one of the grandsons. So I knew Irene very, very well and was very happy to have the opportunity. Her roots were in Stanley, Iowa. She lived there long. She was born on November 2nd, the first day that women could vote. I think that set the stage for Irene, really, because she became the first woman on the city council in Stanley. So she was really active and involved in many, many ways out there. She did have the loss of her husband at a very young age, but she picked herself up and went right on forth because she truly believed that God was with her as she went out through life. She was a 5'2" dynamo. I mean, she exploded with love for her family. She literally enjoyed everything that she did out there. And when you seen her laugh, you know, her whole body shook. So it was really kind of neat in that respect. She was a card shark, too. She liked to play 500 and cribbage. And so when I first met her, she said, well, you got to be my partner at 500. And my mindset don't work very good for 500. You got to be thinking about what they're playing, what you're playing, and the whole gamut across there. And this mind just doesn't work that way. So she didn't have me as a partner very long. In fact, she was kind of glad when I was on the other side of the spectrum so she could eat more easily and more readily beat us. At her funeral, we all had special ties. I got the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner here. But I think her grandson, Joe, hit it best when he come in to the funeral and he had the Queen of Hearts on the tie. And that really spoke well of Irene. She loved cards, of course, but she was truly the matriarch and the Queen of Hearts of the family. I know Kathy would like to say a few words. So, Kathy, you want to come up here and say a few words here, sort of as a tribute to your mother?
For the history buffs, I just want to add to Ron, it was November 2nd, 1920. So for you history children, as you're going through, you'll learn that that's one of the very important dates in our U.S. history for women's rights to vote. First time women got the right to vote was November 2nd, 1920, and that was the day Mother was born. I want to thank, and I'd like you to all know that Mother thoroughly enjoyed coming to church here. She definitely felt the love of Jesus here. He made her feel very welcome, and she made some very good friends. She especially enjoyed the music. I'm not sure where Paul went, but you know.
Are you okay?
Thank you so much, Paul, because she really did enjoy the music that you provided at the church. One of her favorite church services here was Christmas Eve candlelight service singing Silent Night. While she was at Apple Valley, she looked forward. One of her favorite church services was Christmas Eve candlelight service singing Silent Night. While she was at Apple Valley, she looked forward to all the church ladies coming to help with the day bingo. Always brought some of the best prizes. She also enjoyed the Sunday afternoon church services when you provided it there. She enjoyed seeing the friendly smiles and giving her hugs and seeing the familiarities. Her family would like to thank everyone for all your cards, gifts, visits, thoughts and prayers that you gave Mother over the years while she lived here in her life. Thanks again to Ron for doing the service for Mother's funeral and all your kind words, and for his many visits that he did to Mother and giving communion to her during those visits. It meant a lot to her. So thanks again. Mother should enjoy being with the church.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and it was really a pleasure for me to have those experiences with Irene. She was really a good scout and truly a queen of hearts to any and everyone she met. So it was really a privilege, again, for that. It's always a little bit tricky for me as I contemplate, you know, messages that I'm going to give. I worry a lot about it, quite frankly. I want to come up with a catchy title, and so that's one of the first things that I try to do. And I want something to sort of draw the attention. It didn't work out quite so well on the marquee signs, but I get a lot of people talking about our marquee out here and the message signs that are out there in the scriptures and all the activities going on in the church. So I think a lot of people drive by and say, that church really has a lot of good things going for it. So I think that sign has really paid dividends for us. In reading a book by Rick Warren called God's Answers to Life Difficult Problems and Questions, I sort of chose the title, God, the Antidote for Loneliness. Now, he's the antidote for everything. So not only loneliness, but for many, many, many things out there. If we have difficulties and troubles, he'll come to the forefront. I think Jane spoke well of that when she was giving her children's moment this morning. One of the things that Rick Warren says is we need to stop complaining. God, I'm so happy. And start saying, God, I'm so lonely. I didn't get that right. And start saying, God, help me be a friend to somebody today. There are both good ways and self-defeating ways to deal with loneliness. One self-defeating way is to become a workaholic. You spend all your time and energy working, working, working. I'm going to try something here, see if that hum I'm hearing, maybe I'm the only one hearing it. See if that makes any difference. I think it did make a difference, maybe. Spend all your time working, working. Let's move the pulpit too, I guess. You're going to have to deal with humming, I guess, because I need a crutch to sort of lean on here. Working and working, working. You get up in the morning, you work all day. Finally, you come home late at night, exhausted. You flop in bed. But eventually, it takes a toll on you. And physically and emotionally, you become a wreck. So working is not a way to combat loneliness. I would have to say this. In DNR, I was a workaholic. I loved the job I had. Every time I stepped outdoors, my gosh, it's such a wonderful thing to see God's creations. So I was sort of a workaholic in that respect, but I was not lonely in any sense of the word either. Some people try materialism. They buy everything they can. If I could get a lot of things around me, I will be happy, they would say. But things do not satisfy. If you were put on an island and told you could have anything you want except human contact, how long do you think you would be happy? Not very long, because things do not satisfy. Good human relationships are really what makes the world and happiness go around. That and God as your partner. You can't buy happiness. Some people think an extramarital affair might take care of the loneliness. Others resort to alcohol and drugs. And there's a whole ton of songs out there, I know country western songs in particular, that talk about, you know, not being lonely because you got the bottle there in front of you. That will not work. Some people do nothing. They just sit around and hold pity parties. So what did Paul do? Paul did four things, the Apostle Paul, to combat his loneliness. And they are just as appropriate to you and I today as they were when he went through his days of loneliness in prison. The four things for getting through those times are: utilize, minimize, recognize, and empathize. First, we'll talk about utilize. Is that thing really humming? I can hear it up here. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to try one more thing, and then I'm just going to have to live with it. See if that'll help. I don't know if it will, but my fingers crossed. Hey, I think we did it. I wasn't being lonely, but that thing was bothering me, quite frankly. The first way to deal with loneliness is to utilize your time wisely. In other words, make the best of a bad situation. I think there's a song out there that talks about making the best of a bad situation. Resist the temptation to do nothing. Loneliness has a tendency to paralyze you if you just sit around and do nothing. Resist that. Think of creative ways to take advantage of your lack of distractions. Distractions, although not always good, can take you out of the circle of loneliness and into the company of a lot of others. As the saying goes, if life gives you lemon, make a lemonade. Whatever you can do to combat loneliness, do it. That is what Paul did. And out of Timothy, he says, when you come, bring the cloak that I have left, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Paul was ready to write the many, many books of the Bible with God at his side. Paul refused to sit around and mope. He did not say, poor me, woe is me. He did not complain. God, is this what I get 30 years for in my ministry? Is this my reward for starting a lot of churches, for being a person most responsible for the spread of Christianity in the Roman world? Is this what I get, to die of loneliness in a prison in Rome? He didn't complain like that. He knew what God had in store for him, and he began his many writings. I think there's 11 books in the Bible and part of other books besides that Paul was involved with as far as the writing of Scripture. No pity party for Paul. Instead, he said, If I am going to be lonely, I may as well be comfortable. I'm going to make the best of this bad situation, so bring me my coat so I will be warm and the parchments so I can write. Often lonely people do not take care of themselves. I'm sure you've seen some. I know I've seen a few in my day. They do not eat, or else they overeat. They go to both extremes. They do not exercise. They ignore their personal needs. But Paul said, bring my coat, my books, and I will capitalize on the lack of interruption. I will use it for writing and study time. This was the great change of gears for Paul, because he was an activist before prison, a church planter. More than anything else, he wanted to be in the Colosseum preaching, but instead, he was in prison studying and writing. Sometimes God can use loneliness for good, but he was not lonely because God was at his side. If Paul had been in the Colosseum, he would have been preaching, but God left him there in prison. He had to get busy to start writing those many books of the New Testament. Probably the only way that God could get Paul to sit still was to put him in that prison. I mean, he was out there all the time, you know, delivering messages, and God needed him to write those books, and so he seen to it that through some sort of plan of his, he would end up in prison. And Paul's response was, if I cannot be where the action is, I will create action right here. Minimize. The second way to deal with loneliness is to minimize the hurt. Play down the loneliness. Do not exaggerate it or rehearse it over and over and over. Do not allow the loneliness to make you bitter. And do not allow resentment to build up in your life. I'm going to use Irene a little bit as an example too, because when she lost Bill, her husband, early on, it had to be a lonely situation. And yet, shortly thereafter, she managed to realize that God would help her through this. She picked herself up by her bootstraps, and she went onward and forward and lived an absolutely wonderful life. Sure, missing Bill, but she did not let that missing Bill stop her from being active and involved with many, many folks out there. Paul had much time on his hands, but one thing he didn't have any time for was to become resentful. He knew the resentment would only make him lonelier and build a wall around his life. Resentment and bitterness locks us in a self-imposed prison, and drives people away because nobody wants to be around a sinner, a person who is always bitter and complaining. Paul said, I want to be a better person, not a bitter person. So I will utilize my time and minimize my hurt. I will begin writing the books for God. Recognize is the third way that you can have God's presence and not be alone. In 2 Timothy, Paul also wrote, the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength. Where is God when you are lonely? He is right next to you, Jesus said. And John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. God said, never, ever will I leave you or forsake you. And that's out of Hebrews. There's no place where God is not. He is everywhere at all times, and you can constantly talk with him. As long as you understand this, you will never really be alone. Prayer is a fantastic tool to use when times are lonely. I want to read a prayer also that Irene stated every morning when she got up. Her first action was this. And the prayer is entitled, Good Morning, God. Here's the way it goes. Good morning, God. You are ushering in a new day, untouched and freshly new. So here I come back to ask you, God, to please refresh me too. Forgive the many errors I have made yesterday, and let me try again to walk closer in thy way. But Father, I am well aware I can't make it on my own. So take my hand, hold it tight, for I can't walk alone. You got to give Irene a lot of credit for that, and we need to all think about that sort of thing in visiting with God each day and making him a very, very important way, especially to start out our day. Prayer is a fantastic tool that we all can use in lonely times. Talk to God and let him speak to you. In my DNR work, it was, I guess, really awesome when I could be out there and enjoy the beautiful creations of the world around me. And you could thank God for all that. It's amazing. It just makes your heart just be thrilled with hope that the future with him is in heaven, but while here on earth, there's beauty that he has provided for us. David learned that fellowship with God is a tremendous antidote for loneliness. He would cry out, and this is a paraphrased bit of Psalm 139, God, I'm so lonely. King Saul is chasing me, and I am alone in a cave. But then I turn my thoughts to you. Where can I get away from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you will be there. That's a good thing. Anywhere on earth, you'll be there too. That's a great thing too. So you can't beat that situation. I can't get away from you. And so David learned that that was his way to cope with loneliness. Singer Amy Grant recorded a great song. She recorded many, many. But this one goes, I love a lonely day. It makes me think of you. It chases me to you. It clears my heart. In effect, she is saying, it gives me a chance to really focus on you, God. So what should I do? Do what Paul did. Don't mope around. Don't give in to temptation to do nothing. Focus on God. Make your time with him count and your time here on earth. And again, I would say Irene certainly fit that bill. 94 wonderful years she had here. Empathize. The fourth way to deal with loneliness is to empathize with other people's needs. Instead of focusing inward on yourself, focus outward on other people. Instead of looking at yourself in a mirror, look out to other people. Start helping other lonely people. I love music, quite frankly. I love all kinds of music. And Barbra Streisand had a good song about people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. And I think there is so much truth to that situation as long as you got God right there with you. This is what Paul did. His whole life, his whole goal in life was an outgoing ministry, serving others without focusing on himself. And he said in Timothy again, the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Paul was lonely at the end of his life, yet he never forgot his goal, and that was to help other people. He was lonely in the sense that he was in prison, but he also knew that through his writings, he would be building very, very good relationships. Consider a couple in agony who really want to have children, but can't have them right now. What are they going to do with that love that they would have had had they had children of their own? They can hold on to it, or they can rechannel it. There are many children in the world who need love. This couple should focus on the needs of others, just as Scott and Robin are focusing on the needs in their missionary work in Sierra Leone, and particularly the children out there as well. We need to stop building walls between us and others and start building bridges. We need to stop complaining. Don't keep saying, God, I'm so lonely, and start saying, God, help me be a friend to somebody today. Help me build a bridge instead of a wall. God's grace and His love is the antidote to loneliness. It's also, as I stated earlier, the antidote to any other problems and difficulties we face. Instead of waiting around to be loved, as we need to, instead of waiting around to be loved, we need to give love. Then love will be given back to us in abundant measure. There's one scripture I like to, I think it's in Matthew, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and to your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you give back. What does God have to say about your loneliness? What does He offer to fill the vacuum that you might have if you are lonely? The first thing He says is, I understand. I really, truly understand. The Son of God knows what it's like to be lonely. In Jesus' darkest hour, the night before He was crucified on the cross, He was in the Garden of Gethsemane with His friends and disciples. They had all fell asleep. When the soldiers come marching in to take Him to trial, all the disciples fled. That had to be a really lonely experience for Jesus. Then Peter went out and denied Him three different times. When Jesus took the sins of the world on Himself on the cross, He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Jesus understands loneliness. He says to you, I understand how you feel. I care about you, and I want to help you. Let him help you conquer any loneliness that you might have and turn to Him in prayer, just as Irene did every morning, and we should do that as well. And reach out in love to Him and to lonely people around you. Do you have a situation that is lonely for you? Do you know how to overcome it? Again, make contact, make connections with God. Think of one person in your church, your neighborhood, a workplace, Oakwood Manor, Apple Valley, many places around, who might feel lonely. And consider some specific way to help her, him or her, dispel that loneliness. Everyone has a struggle with loneliness, even for short periods of time. I've had them myself. No one can escape it. I have come to believe, as Amy Grant has said, that loneliness is a gift because I have experienced not just loneliness, but the loveliness of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we go out through life, we know that there are many, many people out there that are so lonely. They have no relationships with folks around them. In some cases, it's within families where there's no contact, and it's really a sad situation. We see that often, and sometimes we do not respond appropriately in a manner that we should, a manner that You would want us to respond, a manner that would have us go out there and with Your grace and Your love and with our love, we would show them that indeed they do not have to be lonely. They can talk with God every day. They can build relationships with many, many others if they give it a good try. And Father, that is a big assignment for us, and we need to really work hard on that just to have other people come to know the goodness, the happiness of Christian living and Christian giving. In Thy risen Savior's name we pray. Amen.
In adult Sunday school this morning, Dave had us open our Bible and take a look at the early church, the church in Acts. Two things out of the list that we made, two things that stood out to us as a class was that they broke bread together at church and they practiced Christian hospitality and broke bread in their home. Jesus presented us with an opportunity to gather together as believers and to carve out a section of our day to remember him and all the things that he did for us, but most especially the grace that he brought to us. He wanted us to remember because, as Ron spoke of, it's so easy for us to forget and to dwell on when things aren't going that well. Jesus, while he was preparing his heart to go to the cross, gathered his disciples together for a Last Supper. It was important enough for him to teach Paul about it after he was risen. As Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians, where he relates to us, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Almighty Father, as we gather around this communion table, we openly invite all who believe to join us. We take this time to rededicate ourselves to you by remembering the work that your Son did in our while he was here on earth and that he does in our life each and every day. We also celebrate that as a body we come together and practice this communion, celebrating that the fellowship and the community that we have, that we not only know that your Spirit indwells us forever, that we have a one-on-one relationship with Jesus forever, but that we have each other, those gathered around us here in this building, those who are important to us in other towns and other lands. We take this time now to remember your Son, because it is in his name that we pray all these things. It is him that we strive to be like. It is him that gives us access to you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
How many people out there know Alana and Abnett? That's what I thought. I know we'd see a lot of hands out there. Alana is going to begin a new Christian journey, and we follow Alana as she grows up, and she always attributed her success, whether it's on the racetrack, cross country, or whatever she was doing, to God, her Lord and Creator, and to Jesus. And Alana, we want to wish you the very, very best in your new Christian journey. We wouldn't mind if you come up here and just said a few words about what you might be doing, if that's okay with you. We put her on the spot here. We get a mic here that works. I didn't mean to do it to you.
So here's what I'm doing. Next year, I am in the fall, I guess in the next couple weeks, I'll be getting my, well, starting my master's program at California Baptist in Riverside, California. It's a school that is not growing just in size, but is in the spirit as well. I'll be running on my cross-country team this year, but next year I'll be coaching there. And hopefully helping students not only develop in their academic and athletic endeavors, but spiritual endeavors as well.
Thanks. Well, as you know, each Sunday we do offer an opportunity for anyone that has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If they would like to come forward, we certainly would be very happy about that opportunity. So consider that here in the next moment or two. If you feel a need to just come and pray, why, don't hesitate to contact or come forward, kneel or whatever, because we would love to make that a fulfilling part of your life as well. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, you are such a wonderful creator to create all the many, many things that you have provided us with, and an opportunity through your Son to find life everlasting if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And Father, we do have special prayers in our church, and one very special one this morning is for Ilana and Nabnet as she embarks on her new journey in California. And we know that you'll be with her all the way, and we know that she'll have you and be talking to you all the way as well. And we certainly want the best outcome in that new Christian journey. And Father, we ask that you be with others that cannot commune with us or be with us today. And Father, please be again with Pastor Scott and Robin and their missionary work in Sierra Leone. We ask these things in thy Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning for worship, and we pray that the spirit that is here in this place goes with you as you go to your own homes. Have a great day, a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Stick around for the annual meeting, members, and we'll see you all later.